bestowed on our community. And we pray tonight for your guidance, that our decisions will be for the good of our community. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we begin, I've asked Dr. Gary Washburn to give us a brief update on the situation with the schools. Thank you for coming, Doctor.
Thank you for having me. So last time, it's been a day or two since I've seen all of you. We are back full in person. We have 6,411 kids enrolled in our schools still. To give you an idea, when we ended the school year pre-COVID, we were at 7,000. So we've lost a bunch of kids. We think that we've got about 300 and something kids that are in homeschool, and we've got about 160 that went to Texas for one reason or another. We think about two-thirds of those went to Texas because that's where oil jobs went. But we did have a significant group of kids that went to Texas because they wanted to go to in-person school. And we've been making that argument with the governor since things started. And we believe most of the homeschoolers will come back. We saw when we announced we were doing in-person, we had a number of them that decided they were going to come back there. But we've also got a group that's waiting until next year to come back. So we think when it's all said and done, our enrollment will probably decline somewhere around 200, 250 kids from where we were, which is pretty good considering where the oil field is today and where it was pre-COVID. So knock on wood, that's where we'll be. The big thing right now is, and I guess my message to the council, my message to the city is, as much as I would love to say it, this isn't over. I have 300 kids quarantined today. That's over 5 cases. So when a kid gets quarantined, I mean, when a kid has a case, the ripple is huge and it takes kids out of the system. So as much as people don't like masks, as much as people don't like what's going on, what I need everybody to understand is we've got to keep following those protocols if we're going to keep our schools open. Right now, we can have an in-person graduation, and because the county is in turquoise, we can accommodate what we normally would have sitting in our stands watching our high school kids graduate. I don't want to lose that. And if we slide our capacity to have how many people we have in the stadium is determined 2 weeks prior to graduation. So we're locked into that number at that date. And so we're watching that very closely. We're very vested in making sure that our kids do get to walk across the stage. And we are making plans to do that. We are going to have a prom. It's going to be outdoors. We are allowed to do that. I mean, so we are getting back to a sense of normalcy. It's really interesting. Our kindergarten through eighth grade, we have good return to in-person learning, about 70%. At our high school, those numbers go down, and our junior class, less than 50% came back to in-person learning. It's about 47%. We think that a big piece of that is kids got jobs, and they just are finding it easier to stay online and not come back to work. We're looking at putting some policies together in the school district to where you have to have a C average to stay online. If you don't have a C average, we want to see you face to face, because our job is to get you across the stage with a diploma, and you're not demonstrating that capacity. So we're very focused on that. I feel really good about what our staff's done. I feel really good about what our protocols are. Our class sizes at the elementary level are a little bigger than we would like across the district. And that's because when the state made the decision to allow us to come back in person, they required us to continue to offer online at the same time. And so really it kind of depends on how many kids stay online and how many kids come to in person. And that's taken some teachers out of the pool. But what we're seeing is that, you know, we're navigating that well. We're still seeing limited number of cases. Today, we in Eddy County, we had 3. Over the weekend, we had 11, and that was Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So that's about where our number is, and we're seeing very, very few kids. And when we see kids come down with COVID, they're getting it at sleepovers, at parties. They're getting it from family members. We're not having it occur in the schools, and that's a credit. I didn't do a good job of turning off my phone. But that's a credit to our staff, to them following the protocols. And you know what, we really do see a pathway to normalcy. We do anticipate opening fully in person in the fall. What I would say to the community right now is we don't know what the requirements are. There's a lot of things being discussed about testing of students, testing of staff, randomized testing to start the school year. If I had to tell somebody today what's the start of school going to look like, I'd say our kids are going to be wearing masks. And I'd say that, you know, a lot of those protocols are still going to be in place. Frankly, I said it at the start of this thing, and I will say it if I have to wear a pink tutu so kids can be in school, I'm wearing a pink tutu. That's just the way it is. We've got to get kids where they are. When this is all said and done, our biggest issue is going to be the impact of this socially and emotionally on our kids. And the last thing I'll finish with is right now, people ask me, are we extending this school year? We are not going to extend this school year. It will end when it's scheduled to end. At a bare minimum, next school year, we will add 10 days. Right now, we are looking very carefully at a calendar to add more than 10 days. That will make the school year longer. But we know that we've got kids behind in reading and math. We know we've got about a little over 47% of our kids are credit deficient at the high school, which means that they're behind in graduating. The only way we have a chance of moving those things forward is to add days. So we're going to do that. We've got the funding to do that. And we'll be talking to the community about what that looks like. But I want to thank the city for all of your support throughout all of this. I mean, we've had some interesting adventures. We've had 5 first days of school in one school year. I can't ever remember having 5 first days of school in a school year, but we've done it. We hope we don't have any more first days of school that we hope we are. So, and I'll stop there, and if anybody's got any questions, I'll try to answer them.
Questions for Dr. Washburn?
I don't have a question. I've got a comment, if I may.
Counselor?
A few years back, when we were looking at trying to get more people to move into Carlsbad, trying to get more Oilfield Company people moving here, one of the biggest things in quality of life was schools. So I want to thank you for everything you've done in getting the schools open, because that is, I believe, the first step. That is our building block to getting back to normal And I want to thank you and the staff for all their efforts in getting our kids out of the house and back into the buildings.
It's a great team, and they're very committed to doing it.
Councilor Shirley?
Yes, sir. thank you again. I can't stress enough, and especially as a father of students in Carlsbad schools, in impossible situations, you guys have done an amazing job. So my one question is, do you know if school in the fall will be starting around the same time that it normally does? I've heard grumblings about pushing it back and maybe adding the days on the end. Or is that something you can't answer yet? You've got to wait.
We're still working on that. We have a calendar committee. What I would tell you that my recommendation right now is that we start August 2nd. And the reason my recommendation that we start August 2nd is we already know that we have kids behind.
Sure.
We know we're going to end the school year on June 10th, June 9th. We always have summer learning loss. I don't want to exacerbate it with a longer break than normal. I know our teachers are tired. But we have a calendar process, and we have to take that to the board. But my belief is that we need to start early, and we need to go long. And that's not going to be popular with some folks, but I always remember when I was working in Los Alamos that there were three districts in the state, or three school systems that we looked at. And we looked at Carlsbad, and we looked at the parochial schools in Albuquerque, and we looked at ourselves. And Carlsbad has a tremendous reputation for doing an incredible job with high-achieving kids. And they've always had that reputation, and we continue to have that reputation. We have three National Merit Scholars, or four right now. But so we're doing a great job there. But we are going to be top of the heap in performance with all of our kids, and we're going to be back to where we're that flagship district, to where that performance is there, because I agree with Eddie that the only way we get people to buy into a community is that we have high-performing schools that are doing the best for every kid that goes to them. That was my commitment when I came into this job, and that's still my commitment.
Thank you.
Further questions from the council?
Mayor, may I?
Councilor?
Thank you, Doctor. I appreciate everything you're doing to get the schools open. I know since school's going to end June 10th, are you going to offer any, like, tutoring programs or anything for the summer?
We're going to do credit recovery for our high school kids. We're trying to determine what to do with our elementary kids, and the reason I'm going to kind of hedge on this is because in adding those days, if we add those days, I need for people to take a break before we bring them back, because if we go right now, we have a 179-day instructional calendar. At a bare minimum, I want to take that to 189. If we get into the 200s, that's going to be a long school year. And so I need people rested, and our staff needs to just take a step back and take a deep breath. But, you know, we'll see where that comes out. But, we know that we've got a lot of learning loss that we got to deal with. And we absolutely, I mean, we cannot back off on the high school kids. We got to get them on track. They've got a short timeline.
Further questions? Thank you so much, Doctor.
Thank you. You folks have a wonderful day. I'm going to go watch some basketball so that we can get on track to another state championship. For those of you that don't know, which I don't know where you were or what rock you were under, our soccer girls are state champs.
Mm-hmm.
They are absolutely amazing. And all the rest of our kids are, too. Thank you.
Thank you. Next on the non-agenda is Jerry Fanning, and he's going to give an update on the legislative session.
Well, I feel kind of like Dr. Washburn. It's been a long time. I feel like I've escaped out of a cage. But I sure thank you for the time tonight. I know you have a full agenda. And I promised the mayor I'd give you a quick update on the legislative session and the end of it. I imagine most of you have heard about all I'm going to tell you tonight, so and are probably tired of it. This session, we had about 900-plus pieces of legislation that were introduced during the regular session. Of those, 158 of those found their way to the governor's desk, and the governor signed 140 of those into law. 12 she vetoed with a message, and 6 were pocket vetoed. As you know, if you followed my weekly reports, which I hope you did, at any one time I was tracking about 145 bills. It was of those, 34 found their way to the governor and received her signature. So there were a lot of important things that happened during the session, important to our part of the world. This was a year of controversy. The Capitol was fenced off and closed to the outside public. All committee meetings and floor sessions were conducted virtually. Interaction in the process was challenging, to say the least. My days consisted of being in front of 3 computer screens, following the committees, the floor sessions that were dealing with the bills on the list that I had. Some of those days were very long, running late into the night and early in the morning. For Senate committees, you had to sign up online 24 hours prior to the meeting to be able to testify. For House committees, you signed up online at the time of the hearing and basically stood in line in hopes that you'd get to say something. Guess what? Bills get rolled over. So once they roll over to another committee, another day, process started over. So it was pretty challenging, to say the least, to get a word in edgewise, and then it was often limited to a minute, minute and a half. Sometimes if you were lucky, you get 2 minutes to say your piece in front of those committees. Bills of interest this session, House Bill 4, New Mexico Civil Rights, was declared by legislative gurus as the worst bill ever introduced in the history of the legislature. This bill removes qualified immunity for all state government entities and basically gives a blank check for attorney fees when suing a public entity. Should be concerned. This will potentially cause a number of suits against government entities to skyrocket, not only in the number of suits, but also in the cost of those suits. Sorry that Dr. Washburn's gone, but it'll also affect school districts. We also had House Bill 47, the Right to End Life Options Act, passed. This will give persons with terminal illnesses the option to end their life by lethal injection overseen by a qualified medical professional. Had Senate Bill 10, repeal of the abortion ban, was also passed after many hours of heated debate and amendments offered. Several cannabis bills were introduced during the general session, but as you know, that's a complex issue, and we didn't have enough time during 60 days to get that passed, but the governor did understand that and called a special session to address that issue. And as of yesterday, on June the 29th of this year, all New Mexicans will be allowed to possess and use marijuana in small quantities. Legalized sale of marijuana will begin no later than April of 2022. So the governor's done a great job of successfully getting her campaign promises filled this year. A lot of bills got introduced, but they'll surely come up again. They always do. They always do. So let's talk about good things. I know everybody wants to hear good things. Probably the biggest for Carlsbad was a passage of House Bill 212, establishing the Southeast New Mexico College. The bill was carried on the House side by Representatives Brown and Townsend, got fantastic support in all the committees, which it was heard in great support across both floors, thanks to the great work of the Carlsbad people and their committee that they had behind that. Those folks, I watched it. They were very impressive. Thank you very much, Wendy. Did a fantastic job. And I think they didn't leave any reason for any of those legislators to not pass that bill. That's the way I saw it. Got great support on both sides of the aisle. Another good thing, Senate Bill 82, the Radioactive Task Force Committee, which I call the anti-Holtec bill, was back again this year. It found more support in the committees than it did last year, but it died on the House floor again, thanks that it didn't get heard there. For whatever reason, we'll take it. Senate Bill 256, the Fire Protection Grant Fund, passed. This changed the formula for funds that are allocated for the Fire Protection Fund, and now 100% of those funds collected will be available to departments for grant funding, as opposed to the prior formula, which only gave it 40%. and the rest of it went back to general fund that wasn't used, that was not there, the other 60. We saw several anti-oil and gas bills introduced. With most of those would have inflicted harm on the industry, and they went away, they died. This told me that the legislature still understands where their money comes from. And I think that speaks a lot to that. But they're still out there. They're still laying on somebody's desk, and I can assure you they'll come back up again. House Bill 2, the General Appropriations Act, passed without hardly any problem, as you know, thanks to oil and gas, once again, for helping with approximately 30% of that $7.4 billion budget that was passed with basically no problems. We saw $5 million allocated to the Energy, Mineral, and Natural Resources Division for work on the brine well. I do know that there's more going on with that, and there's more money out there that's being discussed and how that will be allocated for that work. But I don't have those numbers, and we won't get into that tonight, I hope. House Bill 285 was capital outlay funded projects, which gave the city gave the city of Carlsbad $3,963,401 in requested money. It's a good chunk. It provided Eddy County with $1,529,000 for the Southeast Bypass Road. And Senate Bill 377, which we refer to as junior money, provided $230,000 to RITA for 911 call center upgrades. Good chunk of money for that. It also provided $72,600 for improvements to the Living Desert State Park. Good to see our money coming back. $172,600 for traffic safety lights on the bypass out east of town at the intersection of Highway 200 and US 62-180, part of that bypass route. That's all great. We got some money back. We don't get near back enough, I'll say that, but we got some back, and I was proud to see that done. All of this would not have been accomplished had it not been for the hard work of our legislators. It was amazing to see what those people did. They stood up and spoke for hours about the right way to do things, knowing they were going to lose. Okay? I don't know how they do it. But if you see those folks, you shake their hand, hug their neck, and thank them for what they did for this part of the state. They work hard, long hours in the face of adversity, submitting amendments that were ignored, you know, being disrespected across the aisles. It made me proud to have those people there, but I don't understand why they do it. Okay? They did a great job. So what's ahead? Redistricting's coming up this fall. We saw some legislation passed that gave us some hope for the redistricting process. I hope at the end of the day when we see this happen that we're going to see more representation for Carlsbad in the end and what comes out of that. I know it's encouraging to see that they're trying to get away from the gerrymandering part of that, but the ultimate decision, don't forget this, lies within the legislature. So we're going to work very hard for the next few months to try to hopefully get us ahead on that process. The special session, we know what happened there. The cannabis bill got passed. We saw the expungent bill get passed. We did see a good LEADA bill get passed that's going to actually allow for some tax money and things for industry comes back in that are going to be investing $350 million or more. So those big industries should be attracted by that. And I stand for questions.
Questions for Mr. Fanning? Thank you, Mr. Fanning. Appreciate it.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you all. So thank you for very much.
Good job.
Thank you very much for allowing me to do this.
Hang in there.
Give me a call anytime you need something. Thanks so much.
That'll bring us to number one on the agenda, approval of the agenda. We have a motion and a second. If no further discussion, call for the vote.
Ms. Waters.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Mr. Estrada.
Yes.
Mr. Shirley.
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid.
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Number two, consider approval of Resolution 2021-16, a resolution making certain budgetary adjustments to the 2020-21 fiscal year budget. Ms. Salcido.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. I will be reviewing the third quarter budget adjustments for FY 2021. There's only one tonight. In the Lodgers Tax Promotional Fund, there is a request to increase operating costs by $25,673 for Carlsbad Main Street for a digital kiosk shade cover and installation of fiber bandwidth.
Next. Questions for Ms. Salcido? Thank you, Ms. Salcido.
I'll make a motion for approval.
We have a motion to approve and a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Number three, consider approval of resolution 2021-17, a resolution for the acceptance and approval of the independent auditor's report for the year ended June 30th, 2020. And I'd like for Ms. Austin to start off, please.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I'm very pleased to report that for fiscal year 20, the city received an unmodified report, which is basically a report with no findings. And in addition to this, the report was submitted timely, which is always a good thing because it makes us, we're available to apply for more grants. And if you don't mind, Mayor, can we have Ms. Salcido give an update as well?
That'd be great.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. The City of Carlsbad's financial statements for fiscal year ending June 30th, 2020 were audited by Hinkle and Landers, and they issued an unmodified report. There were no material weaknesses or significant deficiencies identified. I would also like to thank all of the directors for all of their hard work on making sure that the audit went smoothly and that it was submitted on time. We also have Farley Venner, who is the president of Hinkle and Landers, on the phone to provide a brief statement about the audit.
Farley?
Good evening. This is Farley Venner of Hinkle and Landers. I will go ahead and reiterate what Wendy and Melissa have already stated and communicated. It was a clean opinion. There were no findings in the report. And overall, there really isn't any issues that I believe we need to report. I think Wendy and Melissa have already stated the significant items.
Great report. So
I make a motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve.
Second.
And a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
And I'd also like to thank everybody that was involved in that. What a great job. And
good team.
Anyone else? That moves us to number four, routine and regular business. All matters under this heading are considered routine by the City Council and will be acted upon in one motion. There will be no separate discussions of these items. If discussion is desired on a particular item, upon request, that item may be removed from the routine and regular business and be considered separately.
May I move for approval?
We have a motion to approve.
Second.
A second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
All items under routine and regular business have passed. Number five, consider approval of a submission of application for airport coronavirus response grant program for the Carlsbad Municipal Airport for $23,000. Mr. Cordova.
Good evening. Members of the council, Mayor Janway, I'm here to ask the council members for permission to submit an application through the FAA under the Coronavirus Act, which is the CARES Act. Last year, we had the same type of grant, and we got $69,000. This year it's for $23,000. The application deadline is June 30th. It runs for about 4 years. We have 4 years to encumber the funds. What we're going to be using the funds for is for maintenance of the airport. We're going to be using it for sanitation. We'll be using it for personnel, possibly. And right now we're using the $69,000 for utilities, and we expect to continue to use these funds for utilities.
Questions for Mr. Cordova? Thank you.
Thank you.
Make a motion for approval.
We have a motion to approve. Second. And a second. If no further discussion, call for the vote.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Number six, consider approval of renewal of business license for Courtesy Sporting and Pawn. Applicant, Courtesy Sporting and Pawn. Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. As stated, this request is the renewal of the business license for Courtesy Sporting and Pawn, located at 1095 North Canal Street. The applicant has provided the bonding required by Section 28-136 of the city ordinance. In March, the planning staff requested a background check report from the police department. We received that report on March 22nd, and it was a favorable response. As such, the planning department would recommend approval of this request.
Question for Mr. Patterson. Thank you, Mr. Patterson.
There's a good company, a good man. I move for approval.
We have a motion to approve and a second. If no further discussion, call for the vote.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Number seven, consider approval of temporary use application to allow for mobile sales vending of shaved ice on city property beside the Carlsbad Water Park and the Ray Anaya San Jose Plaza. Applicant, the Cold Shoulder, Vanessa Ramirez, owner. Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. As stated, this item is a request for the Cold Shoulder to vend shaved ice on city property located at the Carlsbad Water Park, in the beach parking lot, and at the San Jose Plaza, Ray Anaya San Jose Plaza. In your package should be maps showing approximately where the Cold Shoulder would like to locate. This is a special business registration which requires approval of the council since it is city property. The planning staff would recommend approval of the request with the following conditions. The applicant shall not disturb the peace with loudspeaker, megaphone, bell, music, or other disruptive noise. The applicant should provide hours of operation. Approval of this request grants permission to the applicant to vend shaved ice and related foods and drinks, non-alcoholic, on city-owned property in the area near the Carlsbad Water Park from the opening date to the closing dates for that water park in 2021. The applicant plans to primarily vend beside the water park on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, but may set up occasionally on other days as needed, and that goes for the Ray Anaya Park as well. And the applicant should provide a surety bond to the city planning department. As such, planning staff would recommend approval of this request.
Question for Mr. Patterson.
Mayor.
Councilor.
Jeff, these food trucks, you can't just have any food truck go down there and vend, right? Is that right?
They can only vend on city-owned properties or in the public right-of-way with the permission of the council.
Okay, yeah, okay. Thank you.
Further questions from the council?
I do have one question, Mayor.
Councilor?
Mr. Patterson, do we have any kind of a policy for that location where we would cap the amount of food establishments that could go down there? The only reason I ask is it seems like it would be a popular location. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's something we've thought of.
I don't remember that it's been discussed to cap the number. We've just left it up to the discretion of the council of what they were willing to approve to go there. There's been some ideas floated around about setting up something down there, but honestly, talking to a lot of the mobile food trucks, they weren't interested in moving to a new location, so we've just depended on whoever came forward to ask permission.
Well, I think they'll do really well there, so good.
Further questions from the council? Thank you, Mr. Patterson.
All right, move for approval.
We have a motion to approve and a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Number 8, consider approval of temporary use application to allow the parking of a temporary food truck and food sales in the downtown area along North Canyon Street within the public street right-of-way, applicant Carlsbad Main Street. Again, Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. As stated, this request is to seek permission from the City Council to allow the parking of a temporary food truck and food sales in the downtown area along North Canyon Street on the public right-of-way. This item has been submitted by Carlsbad Main Street. They would like to host a food truck weekly there. They would be in charge of vetting all food truck applicants, and you can see the subject area there at the corner of Mermaid and Canyon. The whole thought behind this is to try to increase visitors coming to our downtown area. Right now, I think parking would accommodate it. The approval of this temporary use permit would give Main Street a blanket permission to bring in any food trucks they were able to vet and agreed to have come down. Each applicant would be required to provide a surety bond to the city, and the planning staff would recommend approval with the following conditions. The applicant shall not disturb the peace with loudspeaker, megaphone, bell, music, or other disruptive noises. And approval of this request grants permission to the applicant to host food trucks within the downtown district along North Canyon Street. The food trucks will be set up within the public street right-of-way, one truck at a time. The trucks will set on any day of the week and during Main Street events, and they will provide a surety bond.
Questions for Mr. Patterson? Thank you, Mr. Patterson.
Mayor, I move for approval.
We have a motion to approve and a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Number 9, consider approval of application for a vacation of the street right-of-way to the south of the 2500 block of West Jackson Street, applicant City of Carlsbad. Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. This item is a request to vacate a portion of street right-of-way along the 2500 block of West Jackson Street. This item came to our attention. One of the residents along that block wished to replat their property. In doing so, they hired a surveyor, R&R Surveying. Once the surveyor began their work, they realized that there had been a mistake in where the property lines had been platted on a previous action plat, and they informed the resident that they would need to move the property lines south approximately 7 feet. Doing so, as you can see, would place that new property line location basically in the middle of those folks' front yards, and at the very west end of the street would result in a building being partially in the right-of-way. Through meeting with the surveyor and the residents there on Jackson Street, the planning department decided to request from the City Council that once that property line is moved 7 feet to the south, I think it would be in the best interest of those residents that the council approve a vacation of that property back to those residents and move those property lines back north to their original location. And this is what this action would approve.
Questions for Mr. Patterson? Thank you, Mr. Patterson.
Mayor, I move for approval.
We have a motion to approve.
Second.
And a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Number 10, consider approval of resolution 2021-18, a resolution declaring certain city property unusable or obsolete. Ms. Austin.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. Resolution number 2021-18 is a resolution to declare certain city property unusable or obsolete. This property will be disposed of through auction. As you can see, most of these items are vehicles that are 10 to even 20 years old. The majority of these vehicles are no longer operable due to age. I would recommend that you approve the resolution.
Question for Ms. Austin.
Mayor, I move for approval.
We have a motion to approve.
Second.
A second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Number 11, consider approval of resolution 2021-19, a resolution authorizing the City of Carlsbad participation in the capital outlay program administered by the New Mexico Department of Transportation for improvements to Radio Boulevard. And Mr. Cass.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, Council. This item is to formally accept the $500,000 of capital outlay provided by the state in last year's capital outlay program. There was a fairly late bond sale this year, and that's why the funds have been delayed till now. But this will allow us to improve Radio Boulevard from the intersection of Standpipe to the city limits, which is approximately 500 feet to the east of Quay. We'll also, outside the program, improve all of Radio Boulevard in a joint venture with the county.
Question for Mr. Cass. Thank you, Mr. Cass.
Thank you, sir.
Mayor, make a motion for approval.
We have a motion to approve and a second. If no further discussion, call for the vote.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Number 12, consider approval of resolution 2021-20, a resolution requiring the removal of the weeds and debris at 322 Peachtree, owner Juana Flores and Edith Duran. Ms. Boyer.
Excuse me. Good evening, Mayor Janway and members of the City Carlsbad City Council. The property known as 322 Peachtree Street is in a residential neighborhood that appears to have a residence on it. You've been provided in your packet with photographs that were taken in September of last year of 2020. And then just today you were updated with additional photographs that show the current condition of this property. The property is mostly abandoned, but people apparently are coming on and off the property. As you can see, there's even a fairly new looking vehicle parked in the driveway in the recent pictures. So we believe that people are kind of squatting or using this property without permission of the owners who have an address in Wisconsin. We've sent them correspondence. They have not responded back in any way to the city, nor have they taken any action that we have been able to discern to improve the property. The property has had a lot of problems. Code enforcement has been to the house multiple times. people dump trash there, and there's so much trash and junk between the house and the canal that our solid waste department has had to come out there numerous times to clean up the area. There's abandoned campers, there's tents, there's just general junk. There's always different people at the property when code enforcement goes to try to make some improvements or contact the owners. And many of the neighbors have complained about the condition of the property. Apparently the water has been I guess there's water to the property. It has not been disconnected as of now because of COVID concerns. And the law enforcement has been called out there over 40 times since 2015. So this property has really gone back many, many years as a problem area. Code enforcement has inspected the area, so has the fire marshal, and they have found that it remains out of compliance with our applicable codes and that it presents an extreme fire hazard for respondents, for responding emergency personnel and firefighters. I have prepared a resolution for your consideration that, if adopted, would require the property owners to either clean up the property, remove the rubbish, wreckage, or debris within 30 days of the service of the resolution, or the city will go in and do it and place a lien on the property.
Question for Ms. Boyer. Counselor?
Denise, this went up 40 times?
Over 40 times.
When did this all start? Did it not go before council at an earlier time?
I can't speak to that. Oh. I don't know. I've been, you know, doing this for the last year and a half, and it's the first time in a year and a half I've known that it went.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure if Mr. Patterson has any additional information about the history or Ms. Ortiz.
There might be a clarification there. The 43 times, Counselor, were police and fire and ambulance calls.
Where the police would get called because there was either a disturbance there or a suspect was on the premises or something like that.
Mr. Patterson, do you have any additional information?
I don't really. I know code enforcement has been involved with this property since I've been in this position numerous times. And we've really had a failure to be able to contact any clear ownership of the property. And as Ms. Boyer stated in her report, there's a lot of people coming and going, and so the environment hasn't always felt safe to someone going over in a code enforcement related capacity. So I'm glad we were finally able to get this property before the body, because it has really been a problem in that block. And I can answer any other questions.
Are we going to just clean it up, Jeff? Is that the process right now?
Right now, if the resolution is passed, the owners would have 30 days to clean the property. After that, we would have our contractor go in and begin the cleanup process.
Are we able to board it up too or not? Just clean it up?
We could. Well, this would only cover cleaning up. The boarding of the property would be a separate action, but that's probably the next step, is to reach out to the owner or whoever a caretaker might be and ask them to secure it. If not, the city may step in at that point.
You clean it up and say somebody comes back in, moves in again.
Right.
Councilor Rodriguez.
That would be my question. Is this considered inhabitable?
I don't believe that the building department has been able to go in and look on the inside. So I really can't answer that to the building standard. But once the property is cleaned up enough, I would think that we would have the building department respond to the property to check that part of it out.
Further questions? Ma'am, did you have a question? Would you come up to the podium and state your name, please? Now, state your name for the record, please.
The owner of that house you just showed that I've been in Wisconsin with my nephew. I just got here about 30, 45 minutes ago. This is my oldest daughter. I came here like this. Did you say anything? And my daughter called me and told me she had gotten this letter in the mail and showed me some of the pictures. So I decided to fly over here this morning. I just got here. I'm under doctor's care. I'm getting ready for surgery in Wisconsin. And I just come to verify that that's my house. I haven't been here for over a year. And when I got my daughter to, finally got my daughter to go check on it, it was already like that. I used to keep my yard nice and pretty. But after my mama died almost 5 years ago and drive up shoot and kill my son, I've been under depression and stress a lot. I'm under medication.
Yeah, did you state your name?
I could not hear that good, sir.
Your name. Your name.
Su nombre. ¿Qué es su nombre?
My name is Israel Flores Duran.
Mm. Okay. Question from the council? All right. Thank you.
Mayor, while I understand she's under medical care, some of these call outs to this address go back to 2015. That's 6 years that we've had issues going on here. The rest of the neighborhood deserves better, and I move for approval. Further, I'd like to ask that the enforcement division enter the house as soon as possible and determine whether it's inhabitable or not and take appropriate action.
Good.
I'll second that.
And we have a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Ms. Waters.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Mr. Estrada.
Yes.
Mr. Shirley.
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid.
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Ms. Moyer, do you want to explain to her what exactly happened here?
Yes. Ms. Duran? If you'd like to approach, please. And we may need to meet with her later with a hearing issue.
Yeah, that would probably be good.
Okay. Maybe her daughter can help.
Yeah.
Ms. Duran, are you going to be in town for a couple of days where we could meet with you and explain what just happened?
Yeah, no, she'll be here about a week.
Okay. Because right now there's going to be paperwork that says the property has to be cleaned up within 30 days, okay? So we'd like to sit down and talk with Ms. Duran and see if she has a plan where she can possibly get that going because she'll have 30 days, okay? So can we get a phone number of somebody that we could call to set up a meeting? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And what is your name, ma'am? Okay. Someone will get a hold of you, okay, and we'll try to figure out a time that works for your mother to come in. And if can you help her? Can you bring her in and help her be able to hear? Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Number 13. Consider approval of Ordinance 2021-07, an ordinance rezoning part of C2 Commercial 2 District to C1 Commercial 1 District, zoning to an approximately 0.99 acre property located on Harper Street. Applicant Sally Fernandez. A, public hearing, and B, approval of ordinance. It will now convene as a public hearing. Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. As stated, this item is a request for a change of zoning for the subject property, 404 Harper Street, from C2 Commercial 2 District to C1 Commercial 1 District. The property is approximately an acre in size, 0.99 acre. If you'll look on your maps provided in your packet, you'll see that the surrounding properties are all zoned C2 commercial. This is a commercial area. However, the applicant does own a house there at 404, and the property next door is the subject property. They wish to place an additional residence on the subject property. To do so, they would need this zoning change to take effect. Changing to C1 would allow them to keep a commercial aspect on the property, but move forward with placing the residential building. This item was brought before the Planning and Zoning Commission at their March 1st, 2021 meeting. They voted to recommend approval of this request with a vote of 5 in favor of approval and none against.
Question for Mr. Patterson. Thank you, Mr. Patterson. Do we have anyone that would like to speak for the ordinance? For the ordinance. If not, do we have anyone that would like to speak against the ordinance? Against the ordinance. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. If not, we'll now reconvene as the City Council to consider approval of the ordinance.
All right, I move for approval.
We have a motion to approve. And a second, no further discussion, call for the vote.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Number 14, consider approval of ordinance 2021-08, an ordinance rezoning part of C2 Commercial 2 District to R2 Residential 2 District for an approximately 0.51 acre property located at 2510 San Jose Boulevard. Applicant Yamileth Dorado. A, public hearing, and B, approval of ordinance, and we'll now convene as a public hearing. And Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. This item is a request to change the zoning for the subject property, 2510 San Jose Boulevard, from C2 Commercial 2 District to R2 Residential 2 District. The property is approximately a half an acre in size. The applicant has stated they wish to place an additional residential building on the property to the east. To do so, they would need to have this zoning change approved to the R2 Residential 2, would allow them to move forward with the placement of that residential structure. They brought this item before the Planning and Zoning Commission at the March 1st, 2021 Commission meeting. The Commission voted to recommend approval of this request with a vote of 5 in favor of approval and none against.
Question for Mr. Patterson. Yeah. Counselor?
Yes, Jeff, a question.
Okay.
Jeff, if 2510 is all C2 commercial, mm-hmm. why didn't we change that when it was a resident? It's a residence, right? 2510.
Are you asking why the commercial?
Why would it change from day one? Why are we?
I think that I wasn't here when the new zoning ordinance was passed in 2011, so I can't speak fully. From conversations I've had with previous folks in the planning department, the zoning ordinance previously allowed some residential in the commercial zonings, and I think that they applied commercial zoning to this kind of in a blanket deal. And so this has kind of popped up in a few spots around town where there's commercial zoning on residential properties. And we try to correct it when the residents come forward and say that they want it, to get it corrected. So
isn't it commercial all the way around them there?
It is commercial to the south and the west and the north. The pink you see on the east side is residential one. And there is quite a bit of residential use going on there, so it's not out of character.
Doesn't it create a spot zone, though?
It would technically create a spot zone, yes, sir.
Okay. Further questions for Mr. Patterson? Thank you, Mr. Patterson. Is there anyone that would like to speak for the ordinance? For the ordinance. If not, do we have anyone that would like to speak against the ordinance? Against the ordinance. If not, we'll now reconvene as the City Council to consider the ordinance.
Mayor, move for approval.
We have a motion and a second. If no further discussion, call for the vote.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Number 15, consider approval of ordinance 2021-09, an ordinance to apply zoning district R1, residential 1 district, for an approximately 0.23 acre property located at 400 Kircher Street. Applicant Bobby and Michelle Smith. A, public hearing, and B, approval of ordinance. And we'll now convene as a public hearing. Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. As stated, this is a request by the City of Carlsbad's Planning Department to apply R1 Residential 1 District zoning to the subject property located at 400 Kircher Street. As you can see on your map, that is a residence. What happened, this was a correction of a survey mistake in the past. The property lines were moved and the city obtained right-of-way along Kircher Street. However, 400 Kircher was never applied any zoning in that action. This is just a legal way of applying R1 Residential 1 District zoning to the residents. We brought this item before the Planning and Zoning Commission at the March 1st, 2021 meeting. That body voted to recommend approval of this request with a vote of 5 in favor of approval and none against.
Questions for Mr. Patterson? Counselor?
You've got 324 and 318 are both commercial, right?
No, sir. The pink that you see is R1 Residential 1 District.
Okay. Stand corrected. Okay, Jeff. Thank you.
All right.
Further questions for Mr. Patterson? Thank you, Mr. Patterson. Do we have anyone that would like to speak for the ordinance? For the ordinance. If not, do we have anyone that would like to speak against the ordinance? Against the ordinance. If not, we'll now reconvene as the City Council to consider approval of the ordinance.
Make a motion for approval, Mayor.
We have a motion to approve.
Second.
And a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Number 16, consider approval of ordinance 2021-10, an ordinance rezoning part of R1 Residential 1 District to C2 Commercial 2 District for an approximately 0.809 acre property located at 109 Old Cavern Highway. Applicant BES Properties, Tanner Holt. A, public hearing, and B, approval of the ordinance. And one last time, Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. As stated, this is a request to change the zoning for the subject property, 109 Old Cavern Highway, from R1 Residential 1 District to C2 Commercial 2 District. This property is owned by BES Properties, and one of the maps in your packet would show that this property abuts property that fronts on National Parks Highway that's also owned by BES Properties. They wish to combine the two properties. To do so, they need to have the zoning be homogeneous across all the properties, and they plan to use that. It's just an extension, I think, of their yard, commercial yard there. This would not be a spot zone, as the properties that it abuts along national parks are zoned C2 Commercial 2 District. The applicant brought this request before the Planning and Zoning Commission at the March 1st, 2021 commission meeting. That body voted to recommend approval of this request with a vote of 4 in favor of approval and 1 against.
Question for Mr. Patterson.
Again, I'd like to thank the Holtz or whoever the best properties for doing this. It really cleaned up the area around there. Pretty trashy before. So thank you, Tanner, whoever they are. Thank you.
Further questions? Thank you, Mr. Patterson. Is there anyone that would like to speak for the ordinance? For the ordinance. If not, is there anyone that would like to speak against the ordinance? Against the ordinance. If not, we will now reconvene as a City Council to consider approval of the ordinance.
Approval.
We have a motion to approve.
Second.
And a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Ms. Waters.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Mr. Estrada.
Yes.
Mr. Shirley.
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid.
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Number 17, Council Committee Reports. Does any councilor have any updates? If not, is there anyone in the audience that would like to address the council? If not, we'll move to number 18, adjourn, and I'd call on Councilor Lisa Anaya Flores.
Mayor, I'm for,
been a long meeting.
Motion to adjourn.
We have a motion to adjourn.
A second.
And we have a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Ms. Waters.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Mr. Estrada.
Yes.
Mr. Shirley.
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Oh. We're adjourned.
You made it.